96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, listen, we all often run errands and shop in some of our favorite stores. Sometimes we're not very happy with customer service. We're trying to figure out what we can do about it. Do we file a customer service complaint if we try to do it? How do we do it? Do you have horror stories about out there about customer service? Are you trying to start a business? Maybe you work in a government agency. What does it mean for government agencies in terms of customer service? And do they need to have it? We have some experts here tonight to help us along in this conversation besides you out there. On the phone line with us is Eric Friedman. He's the Director of Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County, Maryland. In studio with us is Tim Adams. He's President and CEO of Systems Applications and Technologies Incorporated. Again, the phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tim Adams, I am going to begin with you. Maybe we all kind of know what we want from customer service, but what should we expect in terms of customer service, Tim?
Well, I think you defined it very well in the beginning when you said a customer service goes across all stratums of businesses. So, you know, a big part of customer service is understanding what your customer needs and wants. You know, one of the problems we have too many times is that we don't take the time to listen to the customer and understand.
Mm-hmm.
I go by the thing that my mom said when I was young, and it plays true. And it's like you have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. You should watch, you should listen, and talk less.
Hmm.
And a part of that is when it comes to customer service, afford your customers the opportunity to express to you and make sure you engage with them on what it is they need and what they see.
That sounds like you have to take a lot of time and have some patience in terms of dealing with customers. What if that customer is hard to deal with, Tim?
Well, I think that's about planning that mission up front. When you talk about your organization, you really have to incorporate customer service in that. General Gregg taught me well as a mentor of mine. He said you have to define your mission. You have to then make sure you understand the mission. You have to buy into the mission. And then you have to execute that mission every day. So customer service has to be really a significant part of what you do with that mission. Understand, the latest number says 8 out of 10 businesses fail.
Mm-hmm.
When they start. And a large part of that, a large reason, is customer service. When you talk about numbers, they say we lose $41 billion in sales every year to bad customer service. So it's important that we incorporate that and we keep in mind that customer service is important.
Eric, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, because for myself, example, as a defense contractor, it's important that we go and we listen to the customer, know what they want. You know, and the only way you can do that is if you listen.
Eric Friedman, you're the director of the Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County, Maryland. So now you're dealing with customer issues sort of countywide. Eric, what are you seeing in terms of frustrations with customers, the complaints that come into your county offices?
Well, from the perspective of a customer, no one wants to be treated like trash.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that it's a very competitive marketplace out there for most businesses, most services. So, you know, if some store doesn't treat you well, there's plenty of other stores that probably sell the same product, or you can probably jump on the internet and find the product and avoid a brick and mortar store altogether. So it's really important for stores to worry about customer service, and as you say, government agencies as well. Unfortunately for consumers, when there are only a limited number of sellers, like, for example, with cable television or something, there aren't too many choices that you have, and sometimes you have to deal with a certain government agency. But we tell consumers really the number one thing is to do a little research ahead of time and hopefully avoid any problems before you run into a customer service problem or a consumer complaint.
Tim, if you have an issue or you have a complaint, right, with a business that you've dealt with, I know a lot of people, that frustration, they may just blow it off. They may go home and, you know, and complain to their spouse or their family just to get it off their chest because they don't want to have to go through the rigmarole of finding out who to contact, write a letter. How should customers go about filing a complaint if they have a complaint?
Well, I think the first thing is about communication. The thing you want to do is try and nip it in the bud.
But if you can't, right, and you're a customer and you want to let that business know what has happened and how you want to see some corrective measures, what steps should you take? Do you go to the website? Do you call? Do you write a letter? What's the best practice?
Well, I think the best practice still is making that call. Almost every organization you call will have a customer complaint line or somebody you can talk to. Mm-hmm. See, one of the things that's interesting is even with all the social media that we have now, still 68% of complaints that are really dealt with are over the phone. So people still are relying on the phone to make those things happen. But that also means that as an organization, you need to have a good process for people to call in and complain. And if you typically look at most organizations, they'll have a number that says, if there's a concern, please give this number a call. And if it's really an issue, not just with the product, but with the people or whatever, always feel free, whatever that organization is, to call the HR department.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. That's the number we have for you to call if you have questions, concerns, stories about the way you've dealt with customer service, or say you own a business and you sort of have some ideas on the best customer service practices. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about good customer service practices. Eric Friedman, talk a little bit about consumer rights and how consumers sort of know how they should find out about knowing their rights or how important it is to know what your rights are.
Well, it's really a good point. You've got to do some homework before you make a lot of purchases. For example, you don't want to ever walk into a car dealership, used car dealership or whatever, unless you've done some research on various cars. Otherwise, even though many companies are honest, you can be taken advantage of. So it's important to do a little bit of homework up front. One of the best books that consumers can get for free is a Consumer Action Handbook that the federal government hands out for free. And all you have to do is go to USA.gov, go to www.usa.gov, and type in Consumer Action Handbook, and you will get 146 pages of information. So it tells you every government agency that you can complain to. It tells you how to file a complaint form. It gives you sample complaint forms. But as Tim says, you know, communication is really important. Sometimes people file a complaint with our office, but they haven't even complained to the merchant yet. So we typically say, go back to the merchant. If they can't resolve it directly, then file a complaint with a government agency.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about customer service tonight. Our guest is Tim Adams, President and CEO of Systems, Applications, and Technologies Incorporated, and Eric Friedman. He's the Director of the Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County. Tim, you wanted to make a point?
Yeah, I think we need to understand that with small businesses in particular, that we as consumers have to have some patience too, particularly for new businesses. And what I mean by that is sometimes they're not as fully capitalized as others. So when you have most businesses opening, they have an opportunity to train their staff. You may have three or four openings where they invite people in so they can work on their staff, they can work on their customer service and those things. Sometimes we have small businesses who are in such a hurry to try and generate revenue, they don't have the time to do that. So we as consumers need to be patient with them and actually work with them. One of the best things you can do is give someone your honest opinion of how your service was and what do you think is going on and recommendations on how it could be better.
And I'm sure businesses want that because that's some free advice. I would hope they would want it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810 tonight. Our focus is customer service, how best for businesses to serve those customers. We want to hear from you. Let's go to the phone lines. Charles is calling from Waldorf. Go right ahead, Charles.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm listening to your theme or subject for the evening, and I am old. I'm in my 60s. I'm retired. I have worked with the public. And the public, it could be very trifling. All my life, I've dealt with customer service. I know how to deal with people, but sometimes people go overboard in their perception of you to begin with. I think your topic is just broad, and it doesn't allow me the time to really explain what I really would like to talk about.
Well, give it to me if you can in about a 10 to 12 second capsule, so I can have maybe the guests sort of dive into, you know, generally what your question or issue is.
Okay, it's a broad topic. I understand. I deal with, right now, being retired, I deal with food, and it's actually samples, and people come in, and they expect it to be a restaurant, and they get belligerent on account of if it's not appealing to them. I just work there.
Okay, let Charles sort of deal with that. It sounds like what she's saying is that she gets frustrated with customers who have a certain expectation that she can't meet, but maybe that expectation is not warranted from a customer point of view. So is that something that the business has to deal with? How do you deal with that? How does that happen? And how do you address that, Tim?
Well, I think you need to address it from the standpoint of when you talk about organizations, you have to train your people in conflicts, period, in conflict resolution. And one of the things is, you know, you can look at that as conflict of interest. There's organizational conflict, and then there's personal and relational conflicts. And a lot of times it's just a matter of teaching people to be able to bear through that. You will not win with a customer, and they may be belligerent, but you just have to pace yourself and teach your personnel and others, just like to say, you just have to listen through it, and you have to build that mindset where you can't take it personal.
We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk about how you deal with customers if it's not face-to-face, but using internet to make purchases, dealing with contracts, as you mentioned, Tim, with the federal government, and how a county will deal with customer complaints. And we'll have Eric talk about that sort of a bureaucracy. So we're going to continue this conversation. The phone lines are still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Good customer services practices we're talking about tonight. So the Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryan in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next with Jeff Brown on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryan in for Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about customer service. Yes, it's easy for us to have complaints, but are our expectations too high, or has customer service really taken a hit? Do we still have customer service, and is the customer always right? Some of the issues we're talking about, but the broader topic is customer service and how can businesses serve their customers better, and do customers have too high expectations of those businesses? Joining us tonight on the phone line is Eric Friedman. He's the director of the Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County. And in studio with us is Tim Adams. He's president and CEO of Systems Applications and Technologies Incorporated. Phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. Do you have horror stories? Do you have suggestions? Do you have a business? Do you know what customer service is all about? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Customer service, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's our topic tonight. Eric Friedman, we sometimes assume when we're talking about customer service, it's face-to-face, but we know today customer service is also customers are dealing with Amazon, different sites in which you can order over the internet. So what is this new terrain now when it's not face-to-face? Is it easier? Is it more difficult in terms to get good customer service if you're doing all of your sort of ordering and whatever you're doing in terms of buying stuff over the internet?
Well, it certainly can be more difficult if the business doesn't have an email address that you can use. But on the other hand, sometimes it's easier to the extent that when you're emailing someone, you already have a written record of your complaint.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, the most frustration that we see with people is when they're calling a business, maybe a telephone service or something, regarding a problem. And each time they call, they end up talking to another customer service person
yes.
in another state or in another country who doesn't even know the story from the beginning. And that can really be frustrating for consumers.
Talk about that, Tim. I think we all have had that experience where you are bounced from one department to the next, and then you have to restate the issue to each new person. It happens in so many instances. I can say personally, when you've made these phone calls and you want to hang up, you know you can't. You're assuming they have computers. They have a record that you've already talked to Tim, and why are you asking me the same thing? And what I feel like is, these folks have this information. Why are you asking me this over and over again? Can't something be done about that? That's my complaint.
Well, I understand. And, you know, I get frustrated with that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself having to keep a log and making sure you say every person you talk to, okay, what's your name? What's your contact? What's your role?
Mm-hmm.
So that every time you end up calling back or even trying to I think it was a great point about email. But you just got to keep that. You got to document it. It's like anything, like just document down who you talk to and when.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when you say that, because a lot of times when you start going back and telling people, well, I talked to so-and-so, I talked to, they tend to sometimes find the records.
Because they know that you've kept track.
Yeah, and they can track it. And I won't say it was disingenuous effort, but they can track it. So that's a part of it. It's a lot harder, and it's work on you. But remember, one of those other old sayings as well, it's only as important to them as it is to you.
So you have to, in short, take ownership of whatever your issue is. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Desiree calling from Virginia.
Just kind of have a bit of say something about the previous caller when she was saying that customers can be trifling, and trifling really means small.
Mm-hmm.
So she used that in the wrong way, but nevertheless, when you are representing an organization or a company, it's not your company, and so it's not your agenda. So if you have a customer or a client who is upset, maybe because they've had to explain themselves over and over again, or maybe because they, you know, felt like they were got a disservice, it's not up to you to judge them, because it's not your organization and it's not for you to drive away business. And so maybe that person should not be forward-facing of that business in front of the customer. Maybe they need to do a different job that isn't front-facing, because it's not your organization. So it's not your agenda that matters. And I think some people take ownership of something that isn't theirs.
Hmm. Desiree, are you a business owner?
So I am. I do have a consulting business, but I also work for a very large, I work for Defense Acquisition University. So I work with internal and external stakeholders. And either way, I understand that is not my business. And when it is my business, then of course it's my goal to give an excellent product.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I'm talking to someone that has nothing to do with my business, that's not my business, I understand that my job is to represent the organization and represent the company. And if somebody comes to me with a problem, they don't have a problem with me, Desiree. They have a problem with some type of the quality or the products of the service. And so I don't take it personally.
Well, thank you so much. She offers a lot of good information. I see, Tim, you wanted
to
pick up on
that. No, but I think that goes back to the point we were trying to make a little earlier. It goes back to understanding conflict resolution and affording people to vent sometimes and say what they need to say. And then again, like that last part I said, and you can't take it personal. You have to afford people that opportunity to express how they feel.
Hmm. Eric Friedman, Director of Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County. Is that old maxim, the customer is always right, does that still hold true today?
No, it's not. I mean, we've all heard that, but the matter is customers can sometimes be rude, sometimes don't even tell you the truth. That happens once in a while. But, you know, keep in mind, from a business point of view, it's very difficult to run a business. There's no question about it, especially when there's lots of competition. And on the one hand, you have businesses that spend lots of money on advertisements, but then if they treat one customer rudely and that customer tells all of his or her friends or goes onto gripe sites or social media, it can really devastate a company. So sometimes merchants can be foolish by spending a lot of money on advertisements and then not making the effort to work collaboratively with the customers to try and resolve a problem.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our topic tonight, customer service. How do you define good customer service? How do you define bad customer service? And if you're a business owner, what do you think about customers and how you deal with their complaints and maybe even their suggestions or their positive feedback? What do you do with that? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Tim Adams, President and CEO of Systems, Applications, and Technologies Incorporated. Tell us, what are the mistakes companies make with consumers? Do you have like one big one, or like a top three, or a top five, or a top two?
Well, I think one of the things that we talked about a little earlier mentioned was you have to treat people with dignity and respect, no matter who they are. And we think that's just common knowledge, but mm-hmm. We have to work at that. And I think one of the things to go off just a little bit is we assume that customer service comes naturally to everyone, and it doesn't. I mean, we have to understand that it's sometimes that's a learned art. And so we have to afford people an opportunity, as I said, to cultivate that and to deal with that. Now, we can be very short with people, you know, because you're paying your money and you want your goods or your service and you want it there. But I go back to, and not defending business, but just saying small businesses and others, they have to have an opportunity to create that culture and learn that culture. I'll go back a little bit in history. A lot of people don't realize, for example, when the minority programs and the 8A program were first established, a part of that wasn't just about gaining revenue and those kind of things. It was to make sure that women and minorities had an opportunity to be prime contractors. And a big part of that was so that they could have that face-to-face interface with their customers. Now, and it's a learned art, and it gives you an opportunity to understand the big picture. And so that's real important with us now, too, of having that opportunity to cultivate. What is really that customer service, talking with that customer? It's sometimes a trial and error period. But we got to understand that it's important and it's a learned art. It isn't always that which is residing in every individual you put to work.
I will say, Tim, that sounds great. But, you know, if a customer walks in, they're not worried about the history of that company. They're not worried how much you know or don't know or how trained you are or how patient they have to be. They're coming in. I'm paying my money and I'm expecting a service. So I'm not discounting what you're saying. But we know the reality of it is we're moving, we're shaking, we're coming in, and most folks aren't sort of going to take that into account. If they do, I agree with you, that would make the experience much better for the consumer and the business.
I somewhat disagree because I think most people coming in are patient to a certain extent. Again, there are going to be those, and a part of that is all of us have those days that when you go into, say, that restaurant, it's not just about that service. It's about the accumulation of your day. And we all have that moment. But I think the majority of people go in and are civil and deal with people, and I think they give them an opportunity. But again, if you don't work that into your plan, if customer service isn't a part of your fabric, of your organization, of your company, you're going to have problems, and you're probably not going to be successful.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Victor calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Go right ahead, Victor.
Hey, guys. I want to make it real quick. I'm listening to you guys, and you're absolutely right. I feel I'm a concierge manager. What I do is try to train people just to get out of situations when there is some negativity is involved. I say this because, like you said earlier, if you don't have that foundation and the right people in front of your business, customer service goes out the window because customer service can't be trained. I feel customer service is in you because if it's not in you, the first person that makes you upset, you're going to run away. So you got to be able to deal with people and know how to say no when there's a no, but just you don't say it the way. It's the way you talk, the way you – emotions and the way you deal with people. People, when they – customer service is about service. So guess what? If you ain't got the right service and things go wrong and you don't know how to have the right person to speak up, you're going to be failing because, like you said, people go and tell their friends, they tell their mothers, they tell everybody how bad your service was. So I say – what you need to do is be more mindful that a person is spending their money to do what they come to do. So if things go wrong, you need to be upfront, apologize, and take it because they're going to come back at you.
All right. Thank you.
It's very important to me that I think that a lot of people misconstrue that customer service is just a job. No, it's not a job. That's something that you live by. If you can't be thick-skinned and know how to take rejection or a problem – and you don't do it right, you destroy it. See, as a manager, I watch and see, and I try, if things are going a little wrong, I jump in front of it and make sure that it's not, even if we made a mistake, when they leave happy.
All right. Thank you so much, Victor. I mean, he's offering a lot of advice. Basically what he's saying, if I'm interpreting it, is you got to have the right people on the front lines dealing with customers. And if they don't have those skills, either you have to train them to have the skills or you've got to be sure you're picking the right people with those natural skills. I want to sort of follow up on that, but I want to make sure I ask Eric this. Eric, I know a lot of folks who may have complaints, they may threaten that they're going to call the Better Business Bureau or they may want to contact the Better Business Bureau or maybe they interchange that with the Maryland Consumer Protection Services Department. Are those two things, those two organizations different? Do they have different goals? Do they do different things?
Well, the goals might be the same, but yes, they do different things in different levels. So the Better Business Bureau is a nonprofit, but a membership organization, and it's a perfectly good organization. They help and try to mediate disputes. But unlike our office and unlike the government consumer protection offices in the district and in Virginia, the Better Business Bureau is not a law enforcement agency, does not enforce any laws and regulations, and doesn't license any kinds of businesses. So it's a perfectly good organization to call, but consumers should know that if they think that there's a violation of a consumer protection statute, they probably will need to contact one of the government regulation agencies that are out there, either at the county, the state, or the federal level.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. I want to talk about government contractors and how they deal with customer service. And I want to piggyback Victor's point about who you sort of put in a position to deal with customers and whether or not money should be put behind and time put behind training. The phone lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Customer service is our topic tonight. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about customer service. As I've said, the good, the bad, the ugly. What is customer service to you? Do you have horror stories or do you have stories to say this is how customer service should be applied? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Our experts tonight on the phone line is Eric Friedman. He's the director of the Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County, Maryland. And Tim Adams, president and CEO of Systems, Applications, and Technologies Incorporated. Eric Friedman, as people sort of, in your experiences, start and launch their small businesses, and this is a question for you and Tim, how would you encourage small businesses or businesses in general to train their employees on good customer service practices? Because we heard Victor saying, listen, sometimes certain people don't need to be in a position where they are dealing with customers. So what would be your suggestion on how to best train employees and put them in a position to sort of best amplify the positives of a company?
Well, I think Tim hit it best. You know, all people, whether they're consumers or merchants, really want to be treated with respect and dignity. There's no question about it. Even if you don't agree with someone, if you treat someone with respect, it's probably the best thing that you can do. Now, what's interesting with many companies is that the frontline people are the ones that typically hear the complaints before the president, and yet they're the lowest paid people in the business. Sometimes it's important just to have the ability and the nature to allow consumers to vent a little bit or to diffuse their anger so that you can get them to the next level where you can deal with some of these issues. A lot of times when you're frustrated, you know, your emotions are really running high, and you may just need to vent a little bit. And as that last caller said, some people have the personality that can deal with these kinds of things better than other people.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our topic tonight is customer service. What do you think of customer service, and how do you feel customers should be treated? Tim Adams, we don't really think, I don't think folks think of customer service when you're talking about contractors in terms of government contracting. That's sort of like inside baseball. But is customer service involved somewhere in that maybe that we don't see?
It's a huge part of it. And what I mean by that is to really support your customer, particularly on the government side, you need to understand what their needs and their wants are. And you have to be able to listen, and you have to be able to respond.
Now, the government is big, right? That's not me and you walking into you know, a fast food restaurant. So this is a behemoth. So do you have to deal with it differently?
Well, you deal with it because actually, in some cases, it's better because you get more of a one-on-one. When you start dealing with, for example, I'm in defense contracting, and we were dealing with a certain system. There are those who are in charge of that system. And the real key is being able to walk up, listen, and understand what they need and what they want. You know, and that's the key to it. And you get a chance to talk about it. One of the things is when you have that opportunity, you can get ahead of problems and you can talk about it. But I want to take one step back, if you don't mind. And I really want to make sure that we understand when we talk about customer service, that goes beyond just that interface with the individual. I mean, good customer service is the entire experience you have, no matter what industry it is. I mean, if it's how many parking spaces you have, how accessible is it? You know, how do you have that formal problem resolution?
Because folks will remember, if you're at a retail store or you're at a mall and constantly you can't find a parking space, they'll go elsewhere.
Right? So we have to understand, you know, sometimes we just think of customer service as that interaction with that one individual.
Good point.
But it's the entire experience. And so if you make it the entire experience, then that helps. Because, again, if you're riding around for 20 minutes trying to find somewhere to park and then you come up and, you know, people aren't getting seated fast enough, that adds to the concern that people have about customer service. But it's the total experience. And it's in any business you're doing.
Excellent point. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. He is Tim Adams. He's the president and CEO of Systems Applications and Technologies Incorporated. On the phone line with us also is Eric Friedman, director of the Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County, Maryland. Eric, in a recent Forbes magazine article, one of the top 10 complaints is false advertisement. How do you address that as a consumer with management if you feel like you're experiencing false advertisement, either through something you see in the paper, in the store, online?
Well, that is a big area of complaints that we receive in our office. And the first thing would be to bring the attention to the store regarding the advertisement that you think is deceptive. And hopefully the store will step up and say, yes, that price is wrong. We'll let you have it at the correct price, and we'll change the ad. We'll have a sign and address the problem right away. But if not, you know, that clearly has the potential of being a violation of consumer protection statutes in any jurisdiction. And that complaint could be brought to the attention of a regulatory agency. You know, consumers, just to talk about pricing in general, you hear all these prices on sale and 20% off. And Checkbook Magazine did a story. It's a nonprofit magazine that helps consumers know which are the best merchants to go to. They did a study, and they found that a great number of those for sale signs are, in fact, misleading, and it is, in fact, the regular price. So that's definitely a ripe area for complaints.
And so what happens with that? If I complain about that and I say, well, wait a minute, this is your normal price and you're marking it as a sale, where does that go? Who do I complain to about that? And do I honestly feel like somebody will do something about it?
Well, when it gets bad enough, yes, the government agencies will do something about it. I mean, the State Consumer Protection Office and our office have gone after mattress advertisements. They're notorious for having misleading sales prices. And so those merchants have been, you know, required to sign settlement agreements, and enforcement action, legal action has been taken against companies when it gets really bad in terms of deceptive, false comparison advertising.
All right, we still have a few moments left. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Customer service is our broad topic, but underneath that, you know, what do you expect as a customer? What horror stories might you have as a customer? And what suggestions do you have either as a business owner or a customer for good customer service practices? Tim Adams, we know that social media in many ways has democratized many things. Talk about the role of social media in terms of customer service, how the public can use that to better customer service, and even how businesses can use social media either to react or be proactive in how they deal with a customer's view of their service.
Well, I think that goes back to, again, it's about the total experience. And we've just had something lately in the news that went viral.
And we're talking about Starbucks?
Yes, we are.
Right, right. And we should hit that. And I've waited too long to get to that. But let's talk about that. They're dealing with social media, and they've picked a day now to say, we are going to close all of our stores to deal with this issue of racial profiling, basically.
Yes, and that becomes a customer service issue. That becomes how we're treated. Now, I think what they've tried to do is get out in front of it and try to deal with it. But I have to say, too, that that's one of those things when you talk about conflict resolution, that should have been handled before any other issues happened with that. It should have never happened.
But we know in the real world these things do happen.
Exactly.
So Eric Friedman, how, if Tim says that should have been dealt with way ahead of time, conflict resolution, and if I'm hearing you, Tim, we know now they're going to shut down for a day to have some racial profiling education.
Yes.
So do you see companies, Eric, being more proactive, or are they more reactive in these types of situations?
Well, it's probably easier to be reactive, but these are the stores that really need to have sensitivity training sessions going on find out what their staff is doing and find out training. Even in our government office, we send out surveys to consumers, even though we're a government agency, asking them what they thought of our service. And it's something that all businesses need to worry about as well.
And Tim, have you found that in many ways customer service, do you find it is different in terms of how businesses deal with different cultures, or that says not a much? Well, let me leave it at that. Do you find there are differences?
You know, the interesting point you touched there is it's about diversity. That's why we talk about those businesses that are more diverse tend to be more successful than others. You know, sometimes we forget there's two types of diversity. You can have the inherent diversity that we talk usually about gender or ethnicity, but you have the acquired diversity. And that's from those people who have had different living experiences and journeys. When you combine that both of that into one, when you can have people who have a different experience, not only because of race or gender, but also because of life experiences as a whole. That's why sometimes it's great to have a more mature coworker with a younger worker. And that's just about diversity. And then when you have that diversity, I think that adds so much more to your organization. How diverse was that Starbucks, for example, were there people there to say, wait, hold up, you know, let's talk about this? Were they able to talk about it amongst themselves?
Well, they'll be talking about it on May 29th. I think I've got that date right. Starbucks, again, is right in the center of this in the issue of customer service and good customer service practices. We would like to thank Eric Friedman. He is the director of the Office of Consumer Protection Services in Montgomery County, Maryland. And Tim Adams, president and CEO of Systems Applications and Technologies Incorporated. Tim, if they want to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
Okay, you can just reach me on my website, Systems Application and Technologies.
And Eric, if they want to get in touch with you or the office, how would they do so?
They could just Google Montgomery County Office of Consumer Protection, 240-777-3636.
Thank you so much, our experts tonight. That's The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, April 18th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.